two guys of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
And I feel like a perfect fit for Ben Simmons would be a team like Minnesota, right? The Timberwolves, where he could surround himself with young talent like Anthony Edwards, a stretch big like Carl Anthony Towns, right, that loves to stretch the floor, pick and pop big, where Ben Simmons could be the facilitator, a dribble handoff guy, being a lob threat to at the basket, those type of things. I feel like that Ben Simmons is a guy that needs to be on a team where he doesn't have outside distractions.
Reckless speculation.
Inject that into my veins, boys. Oh,
hold on.
A cigarette after was that Kendrick Perkins clip.
Was that clickbait? Because, I mean, that's never going to happen.
No, no. Nothing. Why do you guys talk about this?
Yeah, what?
Is no national reporters talking about this?
You guys are just making stuff up.
How long ago did I tell you? I told Doogie, stop trying to break news about this. Stop trying to make phone calls. Just quit. The Timberwolves are just fine how they are. I love this.
Well, so for the audio only audience, that was Kendrick Perkins from ESPN in his car with this. I think he was driving. He had a seatbelt on. And he's just like on national TV slinging takes about Ben Simmons being a great fit for the Timberwolves. Gets T-boned by a semi mid-take. But he's like in his car. It's sort of weird.
T-Bone, poor guy.
We should have Judd do the next show just in his car.
Reckless. You know, I actually tried to do an afternoon Judd with the phone in my cell phone holder in my car.
It's dangerous.
But the problem is it shoots you really poorly, and so I look like I weighed 600 pounds instead of what I currently weigh, which is all
high angles,
too much. That's my point is you can't do high angles. So I'm going to go on a big weight loss program and then everything's going to be for my
car. There we go. So this is Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports entertainment, scorenorth.com, the Score North app, and also the Score North YouTube channel. And we're just going to go through a couple things here. A lot has happened on the Ben Simmons front as it pertains to the Timberwolves as well. The last 24 hours, a lot of new credible reporting. And then I want to refresh your memories. There's a lot of people that are, well, yeah, I mean, look at the price tag. The Wolves don't have the assets and this and that. People are forgetting a very recent local example, similar example of something that led to a superstar being traded for about 50 cents or less on the dollar. And we'll get to that. But here's the latest. Here's what we know. Get to write that down, predictions later too. The Philadelphia Inquirer first reported that Ben Simmons told the Sixers brass, I think it was last week that this conversation took place. The reporting came out yesterday that he no longer wants to be a Sixer and does not intend to report to training camp. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people are like, well, wait, didn't that already happen? No, that hasn't actually happened yet. All of the trade talk to this point has been not speculative, because these conversations have been happening. The Wolves have made an offer or two to the Sixers. The Raptors made an offer. But Simmons had just distanced himself from the organization, stopped answering people's texts and calls, and was just fuming for the last few months. Now he has gone the extra step and said, oh, in case there's any thought that I was going to show up and this was all going to blow over, I want out. I'm not playing for the Sixers. Chris Broussard went on Fox Sports 1 this morning. Declan found this, and he said there's been some thought that Ben Simmons would only play for three teams in California. Well, first of all, he doesn't control that. He's under contract. I don't think he has a no-trade clause. They can just trade him. Mm-hmm. I might be wrong on that. But he's saying, Chris Broussard's saying, oh, no, he'll play for any of the other 29 teams except the Sixers. He just doesn't want to play for the Sixers. Mm-hmm. Shams from The Athletic reporting, the Timberwolves have been motivated to find a deal for Simmons, but would likely require a third team given their asset pool of Malik Beasley, Jaden McDaniels, and D'Angelo Russell might not entice the Sixers. I don't know if that means the Wolves offered those players in a package.
Right. And that's
suspicious that he's floating those three names specifically.
Well, and that is exactly going back probably more than a month, what Doogie has said as well. Mm-hmm. So like he's gotten the same info, which is the ideal trade because the Wolves probably don't match up super well with the Sixers, is involve a third team, move, I don't know, D'Lo and Beasley to a third team, and then orchestrate a Ben Simmons trade. So this is where like Dukes has been on top of this and obviously talking to people for quite some time. And now it's just basically starting, the snowball starting to roll down the hill nationally.
I'm glad that you brought that up real quick. I think Dukes deserves a lot of credit. Doogie has been in front of some of the best NBA reporters in the country on this. Now, like, obviously Shams and Johnny K do an amazing job. I'm not trying to slight those guys, but Doogie has been ahead of everyone on this Ben Simmons reporting. The people he's talking to, it's ironclad. Johnny K, speaking of him, Athletic, he had a story that came out last night. The Timberwolves' lack of activity at power forward this offseason is all these, they need power forwards. All these options have been flying around. They haven't jumped in. Mm-hmm. That lack of activity all points one way, to Ben Simmons. And he lays out the Wolves have been, according to his senses, the most aggressive team pursuing Simmons. And Johnny adds a couple things. Number one, the Sixers had been hopeful that Damian Lillard would demand a trade from Portland, and they could do some sort of a Simmons-Lillard swap, maybe include a third team. But to this point, Damian Lillard hasn't been aggressive in trying to push his way out. I don't know if Chauncey Billups has gotten to him. You know, they've made a couple little moves here and there. They're certainly not a title contender, but Damian Lillard has remained at least somewhat loyal to Portland. He's been frustrated, and he's voiced his frustration to different people behind the scenes. But if the Sixers are waiting for Damian Lillard to make this whole thing happen, it hasn't happened yet. Training camps start in about 3.5 weeks, and if Damian Lillard isn't available, it drives the price down for Simmons. Mm-hmm. The second thing with Johnny K, he apparently said on KFXN radio in the Twin Cities yesterday that Ben Simmons is open to playing for the Timberwolves if it came down to that. And then I'll add this too. Patrick Beverley loves all of this. He's active on social media. And there was an NBA reporter named Ben Steiner who tweeted, add Ben Simmons to D'Angelo Russell, Kat, and Anthony Edwards, and you've got a contender. To which Patrick Beverley retweeted with facts and eyeball emojis. Oh. So, what are your thoughts on the latest developments here? The last 24 hours, Ben Simmons, as it pertains to the Timberwolves.
My thoughts are this. Never dismiss the truthfulness of reckless speculation. It's a lifestyle.
Reckless speculation.
And I will say this, when you can put the pieces of the puzzle together before the rest of the country does, it becomes pretty simple to see what's coming. The best part about this is this conversation is not about to embark on rehashing more, though, and being like, well, can they do it now? This conversation, like this show has been, and I got to give us credit here, and Dukes included, is going to
dislocate your shoulder patting ourselves on the back.
But I mean, this is the stuff that people, because this is why it drives me crazy, that fans are like, no, you guys don't know what you're talking about. It's like, no, if you've covered sports and watched sports for a long time, the off the court, off the ice, or off the field stuff becomes quite clear. And it doesn't mean it's going to happen for sure, but behind the scenes, it's happening.
The Wolves have been trying to make this happen for 3 months now.
But what I was going to say is, so what's the next step? The next step is this. Daryl Morey, who runs the Sixers, is going to have to get his basketball brain, which, by the way, is a pretty good basketball brain, around the fact that he's never going to maximize the return for Simmons that he thinks he is now. And the sooner he gets past that dilemma, the quicker he will actually make his life simpler. And he will actually probably get, Phil, a better trade. Because as you're going to bring up, the more you dig your feet in as an executive in a situation like this and say, no, you're coming in, no, you're going to do this. And in the NBA especially, guess what happens? Said player will make your life a living hell and your team and cause problems, and you don't want that. So I think what we should do is continue to explore what the next steps are, because quite frankly, Mackie and Judd have been ahead of the curve on this the entire time because of the depth and experience we all bring to this fine show.
Reckless speculation.
We covered Brett Favre playing for the Vikings, okay?
Oh, like, this, yeah.
Like, you want the stupidest, no way, you're an idiot, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
One of the greatest Green Bay Packers of all time, forced his way to the Vikings. Don't tell us, oh, this is no, you guys have gone too far now.
No, this is it's funny. I think a lot of fans have amnesia when it comes to the big moves that Minnesota sports teams make, even college. Remember, Tubby Smith came to Minnesota from Kentucky, and now obviously he was sort of on the downslide, but like he left Kentucky to come to Minnesota, you know, 15 years ago or whatever it was. Jared Allen, Hall of Fame defensive end, Brett Favre, right? Like these moves happen. The Jimmy Butler trade.
Herschel Walker in 1989 came to Minnesota.
Minnesota teams can be splashy. The Twins aren't as splashy. Twins don't tend to make the big trades they need at the deadline. The Wild signed Parisian Suter all in one fell swoop. Like,
right.
So in terms of, well, that would never happen. Like the Timberwolves, no. The Timberwolves have been trying to make this happen, and it makes, as Kendrick Perkins said, it makes a lot of basketball sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ben Simmons can't shoot. That's less of a problem here because guess who can? Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards. If they can swing it without trading D'Angelo Russell, he can shoot, right? Yep. You're probably going to have to trade Beasley. But they've got guys who can shoot on this team. It takes less pressure off of Ben Simmons.
And it's a top five market for what Ben Simmons wants in life right now. This is a top five place.
Super cold weather or what?
No.
Juicy Lucy's?
Passive aggressiveness?
Yeah. You're out of the
hot dish.
You're out of the spotlight a little bit. It helps you out. Like why does he not want to be with the Sixers? Because it's a awful sports town when you're not going well. He's lost his confidence. He can't shoot. And if he's ever going to regain that confidence, it's not going to be playing for the Lakers, the Celtics, the Sixers, or Knicks, right?
Well, but I think he's down for a trade to Golden State, which has a bright spotlight. I mean, that's a dynasty at the tail end.
If I'm advising him, I'm like, Minnesota's a pretty good place right now for you.
I agree with that. I think it would be great for him to just sort of fly under the radar. This team would be really good with him on it. This team should be really competitive without him. This team would legitimately be like, you don't want to face them. I'm getting way ahead of myself here.
Yeah,
but like, but they're Cat, Ant, and what he could become, and Ben Simmons, I'm not pumping the brakes on that. As Rami Makhlouf, our former co-host and colleague, would say, I'm cutting the brakes, not looking back.
Oh, boy.
But a name was mentioned here. I think when it comes to – you brought up Daryl Morey, and he's going to have to come to terms with the fact that you're not going to get the James Harden-like return that you wanted for him. When right. You know, Ben Simmons' name was floated last year around this time and before the draft last year, as a guy that might get traded for the number one pick. But his value is not the same as it was a year ago. And I have a recent local example that we need to highlight here after we shout out PXG Minneapolis. If you've got some extra time on your hands because you're refusing to report to training camp, what better place to go than PXG Minneapolis to check out some of the brand new Gen 4 golf clubs, some of the best clubs on the market. PXG Minneapolis in Southdale Center is a golfer's paradise. You're going to walk in. It's a mecca. It just makes you feel good about your golf game walking in. So check out some of the apparel, too. They still have some summer and fall apparel. PXG Minneapolis and PXG.com/Minneapolis. So Jimmy Butler was a top 20 player in the NBA when he dragged the Timberwolves to the playoffs, 4 years ago or whatever the timeline was, 3-4 years ago. And it became such an unworkable situation that he also was saying – all summer long, like he had stopped communicating with the front office and Tom Thibodeau. He had conflicts with teammates. I'm not saying Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons at all have the same personality. I'm saying there was a fallout, didn't get along with teammates, didn't like the organization's communication or direction, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came to a crossroads where like, I'm not going to play for this team long term is what Jimmy Butler said, right? Now the Wolves kind of blew past that stop sign, brought him to camp, and he clowned everyone in camp. He set up an interview with Rachel Nichols on national TV, and then I believe he played like 10 regular season mm-hmm. games before they wound up saying, all right, enough is enough. Let's just be done with this. But you remember he was so adamant about bursting his way out of Target Center that they wound up getting, for again, a top 20 player in the NBA. Contracts are a little bit different. Simmons has more years left than Jimmy Butler did, and so there's more value in terms of like the number of years. But the Wolves wound up getting Robert Covington, basically like he's a depth guy. Like he's a starter, but you know he's not a star player by any means.
Mm-hmm.
Dario Saric, role player, and Jared Bayless and no draft picks from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Because the star made it clear, hey, this is a divorce that's happening publicly. I don't want to play here anymore. I don't like my teammates. I just don't want to play here anymore. So figure it out and deal me. And once that happens, the clock starts ticking. It basically comes down to how uncomfortable are you willing to get, right? And it puts the team in a really tough spot. Once the star comes out and says, I just don't want to play here anymore.
Correct.
You almost have no choice but to trade that player for 50 cents on the dollar. And I really think Gerson Rosas has played this perfectly so far. Whether they wind up getting Ben Simmons or not remains to be seen. But he has seen this playing field very clearly and said, well, Dame hasn't demanded out yet. Beal hasn't demanded out yet. And there might not even be those teams might not even be interested in Ben Simmons to the degree that we are. So I'm just going to be patient, slow play this out, and let Daryl Morey realize how much he's backed into a corner with Ben Simmons. And I think the Wolves could very much wind up getting him for a lot less than, like, the initial package was like 4 first-round picks and a star player. It's like, you're going to give up more than the Sixers had to give up for Jimmy Butler a few years ago, but you're not going to have to give up anything near what the Nets gave up for James Harden.
The most important thing that a GM has when a star player like a Simmons or a Butler comes to him and says, I want out, is the element of time to keep it quiet. Because if you start to call around and say, Ben Simmons, you know, had a terrible playoff, but he's a really good player, but I'd like to trade him. Teams are like, oh, interesting. Okay, you know, I mean, that might work. When it gets out, the player wants out, as a GM, you're compromised. Because now teams are saying, hold on a second here. And again, I'll go back to, this is extremely important in basketball. Because in this sport, we've seen it. Guys can cause havoc. They can wreak havoc off the court. It's going to cause you massive problems. And so I'm with you. I think that the Wolves, you know, months ago, I think we said, well, man, there's just no package. Like there's no path to a trade. I'm not saying that the package won't be full of draft picks and a good deal for the Sixers. But what I am saying is, there damn well is a path now. And the thing that Morey has to get past is the Dame factor, okay? As you've said, Phil, he hasn't asked out. I think that he's frustrated, but I think he sort of wants to make it work. So like he is at the end stages of marriage of let's go to counseling, where Simmons is like, I need a divorce. So when Daryl Morey gives up the Dame factor and the whole thing of I'm going to hold out for him because he's not getting him. He's not going to. The Portland Trailblazers are not going to trade him until they absolutely have to. When he accepts that, now the question becomes, what's the best package that you can get? And if you take this into the season, it's going to get worse. The package is not going to improve because, like, the Wolves aren't going to – this isn't a deal where a team has a player hurt and says, well, now we're going to pay top price, right? This is a deal where the Wolves would get this guy for the long term because they like him, but they're not going to say, well, now we're going to give you the world. So, again, I think this goes back to Morey getting his head around the fact that he is very compromised because now it's out everywhere that this guy has no interest in playing for his team. And it does have to play a role that at this point, Ben Simmons is, to a certain degree, damaged goods.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last time we saw him, he couldn't shoot.
I think one of the problems here, though, is I do believe the reporting and the thought that even if the price comes down, the Wolves probably still need a third team, especially if the Sixers don't want D'Angelo Russell. And again, in a perfect world, you could sort of sharpen this pencil down to the point and corner the Sixers to the point where you don't give up D'Angelo Russell. Listen, if they don't want D'Angelo Russell, that's great. Cool. Then, all right, let's get a third team involved and figure out,
sure,
all right, what does that third team need from both of us to get you guys a perimeter? So the Sixers want a perimeter, ball-handling, three-point shooting, you know, combo guard, presumably, that can just space things better. Because their two superstars aren't really – like, Joel Embiid's a better outside shooter than Ben Simmons, but he's playing down in the low block more often. And so they just need someone that can unclog things. And, you know, if they thought more highly of D'Angelo Russell, then it would make some sense. You know, the two years ago version of Russell for the Nets might have been a perfect combination there. But you need to figure out who that third team is and who's that perimeter player. If it's not Beal, if it's not Lillard,
right,
who is it? And if there is, and that's the thing, if there isn't a player like that available, what do the Sixers do?
Well,
Do they just swallow hard and trade him for 30 cents on the dollar?
Let me give you the one thing that could expedite this very, very quickly, where like the Wolves, that they would have to make a straight up trade. It's this one. If Embiid and Simmons can't coexist as humans and players, like if Embiid truly, truly behind the scenes has said, you pick me, get him out of here. Okay. You know, as well as I do, that won't work. So like, you can't be like, well, we'll just bring Ben in and we'll try and milk this for all it's worth and then trade him. So the one way that I could see that the Wolves could expedite this thing and actually eliminate the need for a third team is if the Sixers find themselves in a position where those two simply can't be on the floor or in, probably more importantly, the same locker room together, because then you have to make a move, because you will poison your season if you force that one.
By the way, Embiid is already clearly... Somebody has gotten to Embiid and said, dude, you need to help. Like, unless you want this to turn into a mess in a month at camp, you need to help us here. So from a PR perspective. So there's a report out from the USA Today also this morning that the Simmons-Embiid rift had been escalating. A person with knowledge told the USA Today sports department that the Sixers had to pick between Embiid and Simmons, which we knew they were probably going to have to do. But, like, personally, they just don't like each other enough to where they can't coexist, right? It is a little bit like Cat and Jimmy Butler to some extent. And Embiid retweets this article and says, trust me, bro. Stop using my name to push people's agendas. I love and hate drama. I love playing with Ben. He says, I love playing with Ben.
Yeah.
Stats don't lie. He's an amazing player, and we all didn't get the job done. It's on me personally. I hope everyone is back because we know we're good enough to win. So that's a lie. Yeah. He doesn't love playing with Ben.
Yes.
And he doesn't hope that everyone's back. But in order for something to change here and for them to boost the value of Ben Simmons, they need some leverage back. So they probably went to Joel Embiid and said, dude, like, please, like, send something out, like putting your arm around Ben Simmons so that we can gain some leverage back, because people think we have to trade him. Well, but it's too late at this point.
Yes. And he is not returning their calls. I mean, when Ben Simmons, when you call him and he's either changed his cell phone number or flat out just hits go right to the voicemail mechanism, it's over. It's just over. So yeah, this is why this is definitely going down a path that if you're the Wolves, you love. But I'm telling you, Morey has to get past the whole thing with Dame, because once he does, what he's got to start to do is sort through the offers that he really has, not the ones he wants. It's that.
Do you want there? I did find, I think Declan might have sent this to us. I can't remember where I saw this. Executive producer probably sent it to us. Four ideal Ben Simmons trades.
Well, that was Judd. That was the associate producer.
Yeah. Okay.
And the other thing you mentioned too was also sent by the associate producer, Judd Zolgad.
I was working hard. Yeah, I've been working hard on this Ben Simmons stuff. I'm trying to make our show look as good as possible.
So just real quick here, I'm just going to float these and then we'll get to some write that down.
Reckless speculation.
Just from Sportsnaut, N-A-U-T, Sportsnaut.
Good speculation from them.
Great speculation.
Great speculative.
They're good
website.
At speculation.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
So Ben Simmons there's a Ben Simmons to the Spurs package for a bunch of young players and two future first round picks. Actually, I think Popovich would do some good things with Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Just a good
defensive
perimeter guy, pass, rebound. Then there's the Timberwolves package. Sixers would get D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, Jaden McDaniels, and a future first round pick for Simmons and Seth Curry, who's one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA.
Isn't that close to what you threw out a while back, Phil?
Yes.
Because you threw out a Seth Curry comes back to the Wolves trade for sure in the Ben Simmons deal.
Mine was more Russell and Malik and maybe a pick for Ben Simmons and Seth Curry.
Okay.
I feel like giving up Jaden McDaniels as well, that's a pretty big haul. But listen, Ben Simmons at one point was considered one of the top 15 or 20 players in the NBA. When you account for defense and passing and all those things.
Yes.
So you're not going to just get him for nothing. You're going to give up something. How would you guys feel about that? D'Lo, Beasley, Jaden McDaniels, and a future first-round pick for Ben Simmons, and you'd be getting Seth Curry back, sniper shooter Seth Curry.
I've been convinced that if this deal is going to be made at some point and it's not going to be a three team, it's going to be just the Wolves and Sixers, that Jaden McDaniels is gone.
Yeah. Honestly, and if you're getting Ben Simmons, that's fine.
And he's, but I mean, he is an attractive young player who could be absolutely to our basketball scout Declan's credit, be outstanding. If this would improve you enough to make you immediately competitive for a playoff spot, and I'm not talking necessarily a play-in spot, I'm talking actually a top eight spot. Oh my God, playoffs! It intrigues me. I mean, do Ben Simmons' struggles concern me? Absolutely, because I think the shot is broken, and I think it's mental, which worries me a lot. But the defense is so good. But do I think that Gerson would do this trade? Yes, absolutely.
Oh yeah,
I think Gerson Rosas would make
friend
this.
Of the show.
I would not be surprised if this is the damn near the exact trade. It might have an extra draft pick, to be honest with you guys. But I wouldn't be surprised if this is the exact type of trade that Gerson has offered that he's made to the Sixers and Daryl Morey.
You might wonder, well, why, like, what's aren't Malik Beasley and Seth Curry like duplicate players? Why swap? Well, their contracts are different. I think Beasley has more money on this contract, so it would just a lot of this would be financial jockeying.
Sure,
but on Jaden McDaniels, real quick, we can do more of this later in the week, but. I love him. He does have a ton of upside, and he does. He was great in summer league, but he's still largely a theory, right? Like he's not an established great player, and there's still
what you ask.
He's a lottery ticket still.
Well, the executive producer seemed to call it pretty quickly right there.
I did.
But yes, he is.
But I mean, he's not a sure thing, is what I'm saying. So if you can trade him while people think that he might be a sure thing for Ben Simmons, I wouldn't hesitate.
The issue is when it comes the issue when it comes to trading for these guys is everyone always wants to fleece someone, and this isn't NBA 2K21 where you can turn off trade, you know, logical trade meter on. Like you have to give up significant assets, and if that means giving up Jaden McDaniels, then that's kind of the price of poker. You can't just fleece a team because. You want all these guys to stay together. Would it be great if you had, like, seriously, on a defensive prowess, if you keep Jaden McDaniels and Ben Simmons on the same team, because Jaden's bread and butter like it's going to be his defense, obviously. Like, that would be sweet, but you're probably going to have to give up D'Lo and Jaden McDaniels, if not one or the other. So it's a tough spot to be, but that's the price of poker, man.
Hey, Phil, quick question. If the Wolves make that trade, how good are they compared to if they don't?
If they make that exact trade.
Yeah, let's say they make a two-team trade.
So I think they're better. And I think there's a lot of people that watch and listen to our show that love D'Angelo Russell. I'm very curious. I'm skeptical about D'Lo as a top player who makes that
Me
much
too.
Money. Because I don't think he plays enough defense. He doesn't play any defense, really. Nope. But I'm not, you know, I would be curious to see him healthy with this current nucleus. But if you could swap D'Lo for Ben Simmons and get all of that perimeter defense, guarding multiple different positions, the way that Simmons' game in pick and roll could mesh with Cat's game or Anthony Edwards' game, I just think Simmons is a better fit with Ant and Cat than D'Lo is, all things considered, defense included. So I think they're better. I legitimately think they're better. And then one more here. Simmons to the Raptors on this website, and the Raptors have made an offer reportedly, according to multiple outlets, that the Sixers would get Pascal Siakam and Malachi Flynn, who's a shooting guard, and the Raptors would get Ben Simmons. So there's a Warriors one on here, too. Andrew Wiggins, James Wiseman, Moses Moody, and a future first for Simmons and Tyrese Maxey. That would be a huge blockbuster.
Yeah, that'd be.
So it's kind of what's being floated around right now. There you go.
Reckless speculation.
All right. Whew. That was great. Tomorrow is actually Reckless Speculation.
I was
going to
say, what?
Too,
oh
so
God.
There's
what's
more where this came from.
What's left for tomorrow?
Oh, Doogie, man. Doogie's going to have some information here.
That's right.
Be great.
That's right. Okay.
So, all right, we're going to take a second here, collect ourselves, because write that down and an accountability session coming up next where we admit that we were wrong and celebrate the rare occasions where
we actually don't mind. Right.
Dingers.
Yeah, most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
That's right. It's the most transparent and potentially career-risking segment in sports talking headdom. Write that down and an accountability session where we keep track of our predictions every single week and hold each other accountable. We celebrate the wins when they happen, and we clown each other for the wildly incorrect predictions. And Judd Zolgad lays down bunts and gets ripped by the audience for being too conservative with his predictions.
I got to do what I got to do to try and protect my lead, okay?
You're never afraid to lay a ground ball down the third baseline to beat the shift.
There's no shot clock, so I'm playing four corners.
How did that work, by the way? For like the first 50 years of basketball, there was no shot clock. And there's still no shot clock in high school. Why would you like just take a 6-point lead?
Which, by the way, is the stupidest thing of all time. Put a shot clock.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think it's a cost issue, right? Just a logistical cost issue.
Yeah, and I think it was it Dean Smith of North Carolina who played four corners, and they would literally just pass the ball and waste
time. Well, everyone did that back then.
Yeah, that's really fun basketball.
Still happens with the press ridiculous.
That's really fun basketball.
Yeah, and another thing. Let me complain about
something
else.
Anyway, that's what I'm doing.
So this is Write That Down. We're going to get to guest listener predictor Joe here in a moment, but here's how it works. Three predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And listeners, if you guys want to be like Joe and be a part of the show here and contribute to the listener batting average and home run totals, you can hit us up. Just send us a message through the Score North app. It's free to download. It's a central hub for everything we do at Score North, all of our podcasts, videos, Judd's written work, etc. And there's an area to click feedback at the bottom, and that'll take you to a place where you can just send a note to Declan. So let's fire this up. Are you guys ready to be held accountable?
I am.
Wow. Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, so we came in here. Judd has been right around 400 all season with his batting average. Mm-hmm. A lot of things came off the board here. Big week for Judd here. Mixed bag. Ultimately, some good we'll get to.
I'll take it.
You said Aaron Boone would be fired by the Yankees in the month of August.
They got red hot. Could not have been more wrong. Yeah, dude, definitely a career-threatening prediction.
You said, well, this one might be more career-threatening. You said the Twins will win the American League Central with 90 or more wins mathematically this week. That became impossible.
Time for me to apply at Wendy's.
Sir, this is a Wendy's restaurant.
Yeah. Can I take your order?
Frosties are pretty good.
A frosty. Oh, with fries shoved inside
dip,
them?
Dip the dude.
No, I shoved the fries in.
I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm with you there.
Oh, yeah.
Cousins will not be Vikings quarterback week one of 2021. If he somehow like gets hurt or something, you could still win that out of technicality. We're going to take it off the board here for now.
That's fine.
And Ezra Cleveland will be the Vikings starting left tackle in 2021. Same kind of a deal. If something happens where he plays left tackle in game one to start, then...
So, I'm off to a tough start.
I love how you're trying to set
good
up your
condescending.
Comeback here.
Yeah, good.
I'm off to a tough start. So
all right, narrator.
It's a doubleheader, and I'm off to a bad start. But you know what? Rocco has penciled
what if I
me
told
in for
you?
Game two. So what happens when I have to come back? You know what I am? I'm a second half write that down player. I'm a fourth quarter.
Okay, Shannon Stewart.
I am no Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
All right, easy narrator.
Yeah.
All right, so you said Mac Jones will be the Patriots week one starter. You said Josh Donaldson will hit 20 or more home runs this season. And that Josh Donaldson will play in more than 100 games this season. That also came off the board this week.
And
the most ridiculously conservative prediction in the history of Write That Down.
I won't listen to this.
On August 3rd, you predicted Miguel Sano will have at least 5 home runs between now and the end of the season.
Less than a month.
Yep.
Well, of course he's going to. That's literally the only redeeming quality about his baseball game is home runs.
It's in green. It's all I care about.
I don't know, man. That's the type of prediction that makes us have to set new rules and parameters for 2022.
And you do what you need to do. You do what you need to do. I'll do what I need to do.
The rules committee will adjourn.
I look forward to them meeting.
Have some respect for the game, Judd. Have some respect for the game. Play. I don't feel like you're playing the game the right way. Okay. All right.
You know what?
I'm giving you the thumbs
down.
You know what I'm doing?
You know what I'm doing? Write that down, steroids.
Yeah. Would that swing?
Summer
All right, Jason Tyner.
Summer 90. Wow.
Okay, Matt Tolbert.
Whoa.
All right, Jack. I said Jack Eichel will be traded by the end of August, but it will not be to the Wild. He has not yet been traded. And that the Twins will finally win a playoff game this year. That's not, well, probably take that off the board. I did, however, correctly tell you guys that Andrelton Simmons would not make an error in a do-or-die postseason game this year. And I specifically remember telling you when I made that prediction that I am protected if they don't make the playoffs
because the prediction is that he
will not make an error in a postseason game.
You have the audacity, to rip my snow prediction when you worded something where a guy who's had a terrible season, basically, you get a point for this.
Well, didn't he make this? Did you make this preseason?
Preseason.
Yeah, yeah, so then it's fine.
To make the playoffs. The Twins were a favorite to make the playoffs preseason. That's right. In fact, it's less likely. It was more likely that they were going to be a playoff team.
All this vitriol from my supposed friends and partners on this show, and I applaud.
Stop gaslighting.
Yeah, you're gaslighting. Come on, Greg. Calm down.
All right, the listeners, Nick and Blaine said the Timberwolves with A-Rod as their owner will be gifted a top three pick and draft Evan Mosley from USC. I missed that one a month ago. That was wrong. Love you, Nick and Blaine, sports son of Judd.
Yep.
Devlin said 2021 is the year the Twins will end their playoff losing streak. And Jeff in Arkansas said the Twins will not extend their postseason losing streak this year, which is correct. It will not.
All right.
It will remain at 18.
Yeah.
And then Declan had a few things come off the board. You said the Wild will announce a trade sometime in the last week, between last week and this week. It was wrong.
Yep.
You said Andrelton Simmons will be DFA'd by the end of the month. And this one stings. You said the Twins will call up Joe Ryan before September. The bad news is the official transaction takes place today on September 1st as rosters expand and Joe Ryan is called up today on September 1st. That was real tough. I know you were celebrating that one yesterday a little bit because it was reported that he would be called up. But he wasn't actually called up yesterday.
All right.
It's going to happen.
This is going to ruin Declan's day.
I feel so bad because you take these hard, and it was a good prediction. Like your sense was right here.
So even the semantics are probably wrong here. I get that, and I'm not going to fight this tooth and nail, and this will not keep me up at night as most predictions that like this happen do.
That's BS. It will too.
So even when Baldelli confirmed yesterday that he will start, which is what happened.
Yeah.
But because I literally said the Twins will call him up before September.
Yeah, they're calling him up. And part of it is the rosters expand in September. And that's why they're calling him up. So they're calling him up in September.
To get 28-man roster now. Yeah.
Oh, I think the way, like, this, because of that cutoff line, this was actually a, like, they were always going to wait till September to do it. So you predicting that they would do it before September was probably actually a home run prediction.
It was a home run. I was going to, yes.
If it would have happened before expanded rosters, it would have been less likely.
It's going to absolutely ruin his day, and he's going to stay up nights thinking about this.
It's tough, man. Yesterday, you made a comment off mic, and you were kind of celebrating, a little fist pump for that
one. And you knew.
But.
So, Phil, you knew what you were about to do.
I did.
Destroy Declan, and you didn't mention it.
No, I did. Why would I spoil it?
This segment has turned into perhaps my favorite. I mean, we are literally, this locker room is split now.
I mean, Dex was very close, but you know, this is how you play the game. And that was a rocket shot to the gap, and Byron Buxton came across with a diving snow cone catch.
Jake Browning. After that Saturday night practice, he's like, "You put some respect on my name.
Do not. You do not.
You're Jake Browning.
No,
I don't think so. I think Declan's on the ball, man. He squared that one up. That was a robbed home run. That was
a Saturday night practice. That's what that was.
So here are the 2021 season stats. Judd is up to 415 with five home runs. I'm at 354 with two home runs. Declan holding steady at 344 with two home runs. Listeners above 300 as well, 305 with a league leading six home runs on the season. All time, Judd's up to 179 hits. Listeners still have the lead with 15 hits. So, all right, there it is.
Write this down.
That's the accountability session. That's the breaks, man. That's how this game works. Write that down is not for the faint of heart. Are you okay, Declan?
I'm fine. It's been a rough last few days, but yes, I'm fine. This is okay.
Whoa, what's going? What's wrong, man? What's going on?
A lot is going on. We'll
wait. Do we have to take some other predictions off the board?
No, no. The predictions came true. That you don't. Once something's true, you don't.
Coming off the board.
No, dude.
Well,
boy, I got a feeling that there was a long conversation the last couple of days that might have led to, let's say, Ben Simmons Sixers breakup.
Someone requested out. Let's just say that someone requested.
We had an opt out.
We had an opt out contract.
Like cut down day was cut down day for more than National Football League.
Is it possible that it's just a procedural move and you're looking to get back on the roster?
I don't think this is a procedural move. I think someone cut ties pretty quick here.
So like waivers or like an outright cut? Like
I took someone took themselves out of the situation. Let's just say that.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, listen, if you're looking to sleep better at night and you're looking to maybe provide some risk management tools for yourself or your business, Federated's here to help you. Federated Insurance probably can't help with your relationships, but they can definitely help with your business. They've got 100+ years of experience in helping people maximize the success of their business. So check them out at federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. All right.
Write that down.
Let's see if we can cheer Declan up here with some predictions. Guest listener Joe making his debut on Write That Down. What's going on, Joe? What's your strategy today?
The strategy is twofold. One, I want to get you, Phil, as even more excited, annoyingly excited, because I am just as drunk on Wolves Kool-Aid as you are.
That's right. Don't let these negative anti-Wolves people drag you down.
I'm jumping in the deep end with you.
Wow.
And we're going to get each other going. And I'm going to do that by what I think I'm going to tell the story of the Wolves season with my three.
Wow. So these are three Wolves predictions you're bringing to the table.
Three Wolves. We're going all in on the Wolves.
So it's a theme.
All in on the Wolves.
You've got a theme.
Let's get it.
Got a theme.
So we'll start with Joe.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
So Joe, Judd, Declan, back to me. We'll go around the room three times. Joe, lead us off.
We got it. All right. Write this down. Chris Finch will finish in the top three for coach of the year.
Yeah, he will. That's right. By the way, it'll be an injustice if he doesn't win it based on how I see the season playing out.
I think he's a really good coach. I do. I think we saw it last year. I think it's a huge upgrade at coach. Coaching in the NBA matters a lot. I think he's a really good coach.
I agree. I think there are definitely some Greg Popovich similarities for me, but I think Chris Finch is maybe even a little bit more level-headed and has some more qualities that Popovich doesn't have. So as I see Finch, I probably slot him in slightly above a Greg Popovich, maybe a little bit behind a Steve Kerr.
I probably put him just slightly ahead of Phil Jackson, but a little bit behind Pat Riley, Arbach.
Of course, if you give Chris Finch Kobe and Jordan, he'd have 11 rings too. Like, so it's not even
fair. I'm trying to think of, you know, John Wooden, slightly behind Finch.
The funny thing is you're being sarcastic. Joe and I are not.
Yes, I'm being an ass.
That's right. That's
Let me make this very clear. I'm being an ass right now.
All right, Judd, your first prediction.
Okay, I hate to do this to Dex because it feels like piling on right now.
No, it's fine. Keep piling on. It's fine, yeah.
But it's not about you. It's a prediction about one of your favorite athletes of all time, though. Teddy Bridgewater will be replaced by Drew Lock as the Broncos' starting quarterback before November. So he's won the starting job. He's going to open the season as the Broncos starter. But before November, Drew Lock will be installed as the Broncos' starting quarterback and replace Teddy. So I'm not talking about at the end of a game if it doesn't carry over. I'm talking about as the starter.
Okay.
Write that down.
All right. Declan?
I'll make another Joe Ryan prediction that I hope doesn't, you know, screw me over. Joe Ryan will strike out at least six in his major league debut tonight against the Cubs. Joe Ryan will strike out at least six in his MLB debut versus the Cubs.
Wow. So here's my...
Write that down.
I'm going to read this verbatim that I had written down. A Joe Ryan parlay.
Okay.
And I'm going to stick with it because it's
a parlay. Yeah.
There's another element. Joe Ryan will throw no more than 85 pitches in his Twins debut, but will still strike out at least six batters. So you and I were thinking along the same lines here.
Okay.
So they're going to limit his pitch count. It's getting late in the season, September. You know, no minor league season last year. But he will still strike out at least six batters.
Okay.
All right, back over to
write that down.
Joe. Is that, wait, by the way, is that Stella? Just
Nope. I think that's...
Oh, that's, is that Joe's dog?
Joe, is that your pup?
Joe's dog.
Yeah, that's my dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Lay off Stella, okay? She's been well behaved.
All right, Joe, your second prediction.
Wait, did Jed go?
Oh, yes. No. It's your turn.
Yeah, we're back,
it's back to you.
Okay. All right. This might be my favorite one. So we talked about the coach. Write that down. Number two is on the players. Two of the following three things will happen. Number one, Karl-Anthony Towns will make one of the all-NBA teams. Jaden McDaniels will make one of the all-defensive teams. And Anthony Edwards will make the all-star team. Any combination of two of those three things will happen this year.
And let's say Jaden McDaniels gets traded at some point. This prediction still lives even if he's not on the Wolves, because you didn't specify for the Wolves. Okay.
Correct.
I like it. All right, Judd, your second prediction.
Write that down.
You come on and sling Wolves Kool-Aid, and you got Phil being like, let's just make this clear. You're going to be right.
Let's go.
Do you know what this is like?
Just to be clear, he's already 100% right. We're just going to give him
this. You are coming into our show. Phil is five, and you are filling him up with cookies, and you're going to leave the show. And now we've got a child bouncing off the wall, okay?
This is like that scene in Family Guy where the Cookie Monster is in rehab or something.
That's the greatest.
Come on.
Well, I was
a spoon.
He's like, Cookie Monster. Where'd these cookies come from?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Kevin was in here earlier.
Joe's gonna have to reach for the Surly right now.
God. Exactly right. Yep. Thank God I got it right here.
Write this down.
All right. Cubs Twins playing, so I got a prediction about the Cubs. And my favorite thing. People being fired. David Ross will be fired as manager of the Cubs after this season.
Wow. I mean, is it really his fault?
David Ross? No, but I don't think he's very, I don't think he's great. I think in game, he's not great for sure. I think they'll move on from him. I just don't think he's, I think he is made for the TV booth. It's really good.
He was great on Dancing with the Stars a few years ago too.
Rossi. We all love Rossi.
Yep. Okay, back to Declan here.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, I'll get in on this Wolves Kool-Aid. Ben Simmons will be traded to the Wolves between now and next week's. Write that down.
Whoa, dude. Whoa.
I'm gonna come up swinging here.
Dude, that's aggressive.
And knowing how this goes, he'll be traded on the next Thursday, and I will lose out on the prediction. But at the same time, I will drink up this Kool-Aid. Ben Simmons will be traded to the Wolves between now and next week's. Write that down.
Write this down tomorrow night.
Write that down.
Gophers, Ohio State. So write this down. The Gophers will rush for at least 150 yards as a team against Ohio State. I think they're going to run the ball effectively. They're going to move it. I don't know how many points they're going to give up. Not sure how good their passing game is going to be, but I know they're going to run the ball very well this season. So they're going to run for at least 150 yards against Ohio State, and we'll see how the rest of the game plays out.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, Joe, your third and final Wolves Kool-Aid prediction.
Here we go. If the first two things are true, which they will be, I think we all agree on that, then this last one. Write this down. The Minnesota Timberwolves will increase their win total by more than any other team in the NBA compared to last year. They will win more games compared to last year than any other team in the NBA.
Look at that. Just jumping right up into that Conference mix.
Let's go.
LFG.
I love it. I love the theme. Come and get Phil all riled up. This is good.
Fill up my bathtub with Wolves colored water.
I'm with you.
So, Joe, you've got this platform here now, this life-changing platform and moment for you. Write that down. Is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank that brought you to this point?
Yeah, first, shout out to my twin brother and my dad. Those are the two who I kind of do my sports life with. Growing up in the KG Randy Moss era, late 90s, early 2000s was kind of the formative year. So shout out to them. And then lastly, shout out to all of the it's amazing for how mediocre and just bad largely Minnesota sports is. The play-by-play commentators and stuff in this town are amazing. And they literally make it like fun to follow these crappy teams most of the time. I'll take our the Jim Peets and the PAs and the Burts and all pound for pound against any other city in the country.
Jim, so
shout out to all those guys.
Jim Peet is on the Wolves front is legitimately one of the best local sports broadcasters in the country.
No question.
He's incredible.
No question. Yeah.
No so question.
I grew up with Kevin Harlan, right? That was that area. It was Kevin Harlan and Trent Tucker. And yep. It's like Jim Peet is right up there. Those guys are amazing.
It sounds like we grew up in the same type of sports era on those 90s. Like Kevin Harlan late at night calling a West Coast Wolves game with, by the way, Gus Johnson was also part of some of those broadcasts. The Wolves had Gus Johnson and Kevin Harlan calling just garbage teams in the 90s. It's amazing. So, Joe, great work, dude. Awesome bringing the Wolves positivity here, and we'll get you on again sometime, all right?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Joe coming
in. Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, Joe, back to you. Your third and final prediction.
All right. So I was talking on the Bonus Scoop yesterday to Dukes about this. I see a parallel between the fact that there's a top-line NBA player in Ben Simmons, who we've talked about a lot, who wants out from the Sixers, and there's a top-line National Hockey League player in Jack Eichel who wants out from the Sabres. So write this down. The 76ers will trade Ben Simmons before the Sabres trade Jack Eichel.
Oh, okay.
So I think Ben Simmons gets moved before Jack Eichel does.
Okay.
I like that.
All right.
Okay. Write that down. Okay. I don't have a pencil.
Well, remember that then.
Declan's final prediction.
All right. I also have a Gopher football prediction. I will say Mo Ibrahim will have at least 120 all-purpose yards against Ohio State. So I don't want to get burned if he only rushes for 100 or whatever. Or, you know, I want all the purpose yards. I think he'll get involved in the passing game. So Mo Ibrahim will have at least 120 all-purpose yards against Ohio State. Write that down.
All righty. Okay. I feel like I've made Ben Simmons predictions. I feel pressure to make another one here just because like all the news is coming down.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to catch Judd in the last quarter of the year in batting era. So I don't just want like light predictions on fire here.
That's okay.
So I'm going to pivot and I'm going to make a Declan prediction and you can stay on the line for this one.
Okay. Right? Okay.
Because I think it benefits you to help me win this prediction.
Okay.
Just let me make the prediction. I don't know the details yet of what happened this week with Declan and his roster and his teammates. But by the end of the calendar year, Declan will be Instagram official, meaning a photo of some kind, with either his previous teammate, most recent, or a new teammate, if that makes sense. Okay.
Okay.
Declan's gonna finish the year strong, is what I'm saying.
But like, all he has to do is put a picture of him, and a teammate on there.
Yes,
like that sounds to me. That doesn't sound official. That just sounds like, hey,
you made a prediction that Miguel Sano would hit five home runs between August 3rd and the end of the year. You lose the right to fight this.
That benefited me. I want to know exactly, like Instagram official. This just sounds like
his brother made the same prediction.
Yeah, he did.
And we gave him credit for it. There's a precedent set here, okay? If you were to take this to the court, they wouldn't even hear your case right now.
Well, you know what?
We've already set the precedent.
But you know what? I am. I took it to the court. I took it to the court because there's always new law being made.
Oh, man. There's somebody on the Purple Daily YouTube page that for like six consecutive days has said, this is day six of us asking Declan for dating advice. So
what? Stay far away from me. That is
we'll
not.
We'll get to that.
That is... but if you want me to sabotage your relationship, I can do that. I can absolutely do that. That's no problem.
There's a lot to this story. I look forward to hearing
this. Oh, great. Declan After Dark debuting this week on Score North social media platforms. So, if you're watching us on the Score North YouTube channel, thank you guys. Click that subscribe button, and we will give you daily Minnesota sports entertainment in return. Don't forget about our daily Vikings conversations on Purple Daily as well. Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports entertainment. We just want championships. That's all we really want. So trade for Ben Simmons and win a championship, please. Okay, we'll see you guys tomorrow.